Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix.
Do you think, when I hear people, I overhear people occasionally, and they talk about, say, the some of the soap opera stars as being real people.
Yes.
I mean, it seems to that there's fiction there and there's make-believe and you know, but it's fantasy world, but it's become real for some people, it seems like.
What they did, you see, when Arthur Conan Doyle wrote the Sherlock Holmes books, they found that people were sending letters to the publisher of the books asking to talk to Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
So they thought this was an amazing phenomenon, and so the Tavistock Institute, which runs the World Culture Society, basically, that they were the best ones for behavioral psychology and using mass media, television, and movies, they took that idea and they've basically elaborated on it and brought it up for the 21st century, and we're seeing that today. People truly can hardly tell fact from fiction, and Zinguy Brzezinski said this in his own book, Between Two Ages. He says, shortly the public will be unable to think or reason for themselves. They will look at the television as an extension of their own mind.
Oh, my gosh.
They'll expect the media to do the reasoning for them.
I got you.
As soon as Fauci's laid down the law, what's going to happen? You'll never get out of your homes, never get back to work, never go back to any kind of thing that you thought was normal, unless you get a shot. And you also get the cards, immunity, kind of passport, the Gates idea, which also is World Health Organization, which he pretty well owns by now with the money he puts into it. And he himself is a front man for the same secret organization we're talking about before. Think James Bond. As I've said so many times, the biggest problems in the James Bond series were never really countries, but they had these private, shadowy organizations. They had their fingers in everything. You had the same kind of thing in Sherlock Holmes with Moriarty and this incredible genius organization of criminality across the planet. They had their fingers in every pie. And and as I said, even with Moriarty, you couldn't whisper something anywhere of import that one of his spies wouldn't hear. They had so many of them. It's not too far from the truth, folks, especially now with all the surveillance upon you all. You got to start thinking. When you see illogical things happening, there's some purpose behind it. They have to have a reason, right? The old Sherlock Holmes stories, Conan Doyle. And he said that, and he was talking to Watson, you know. He said, my father, I think it was his father, so, used to say that, or his mentor anyway, he said, when you've looked at all the little clues and you can't find the cause of what's happened here, of all the possible things that could possibly happen to make the thing happen, the main thing, the killing or whatever it was, a robbery, happen. If you've ruled all the things and you can't find the common denominator to make it happen, it says, and you must accept the other side of that which is impossible. It must lay within the impossible and be true. When logic fails, you see? And that's what you have with this thing. So much of it is so illogical, but it has to be a purpose behind it. And the purpose is definitely padding numbers like you've never seen before. Now, that kind of thing doesn't bother me in the least. Because today, you see, you're filled with all these supposed science shows and science quips and all the rest of it until you're fed up. I get fed up hearing all the rubbish. All the could-bes in outer space, or they might have seen another planet, or blah, blah, blah. It really doesn't affect me at all. It really, really doesn't. I don't fall for it all or start chatting about it. Oh, do you know they're talking about there could be another? It really doesn't make a darn bit of difference to my life. Does it make any difference to your life? Does it? Huh? I mean, are you supposed to be an expert in everything? No. And most of these characters who work for the science and all the rest of it too are living on grants. They'll say anything to get their names in the paper and get another grant going. For anything, you know. Anything at all. Because, as I say, they don't produce anything except maybes and possibilities and yada, yada, yada. doesn't make any difference to me. Or one day we'll go off into space and yada, 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 in another 100 generations or something. It doesn't affect me whatsoever. So why waste time filling your head up with all this useless data? Huh? Do you realize you've got one life to live, eh? One life. And as soon as you're born, you've got all these forces out there, including your parents, who try to download their indoctrinations onto you, you see? And then school and all the rest of it. Then your TV. And then every radio thing that you put on, an AM radio or FM across the country, there's all these advertisers banging away wanting to take charge of your brain, you see? Do you realize it's a fight to think for yourself? Do you realize that everything is stacked against you thinking for yourself on anything? Anything. They all want to fill you full of data. And how much data, useless data, can your brain hold? I think that's more of a reason for folk cracking up. It's just rubbish. Don't let it all in. And things that don't matter, don't even get heated about it. Just ignore it. It reminds me of Sherlock Holmes. You find that the stories are always supposedly written by Sherlock Holmes' sidekick, Dr. Watson. And Watson mentions, I think, the first book and chapter, when he met Sherlock Holmes, how ignorant Holmes was on what was called general knowledge, general topics and so on that you got at school and universities. He didn't know the top authors of the day. He didn't know much about their philosophies and so on. And or had no interest in politics, who the politicians were or anything else. Because Holmes specialized in certain areas. And when he asked Holmes about it, Holmes said, well, it's just most people's minds or brains, basically, are empty at birth. And they cram them full of all the irrelevant knowledge there is until everything's mixed up and crowded out and covered over with all irrelevant facts, basically. He says it's like an attic, he said. All the excess stuff in his brain, he didn't need. He just put into this attic and kept only the pertinent things in his actual main room, his brain, you see. But most folk were different through their indoctrinations, etc. And that's how it really is, isn't it? And that's supposedly is what made this fictitious detective such a fantastic sleuth. He could figure anything out by deduction of logic, you see. His mind wasn't crowded with all the daily nonsense of trivia and media and advertisers demanding chunks of your brain. And how right Conan Doyle was, the author, when you think about today, because they tell us, in fact, with glee almost, that on the internet and various things that people are training themselves to do, it rewires the brain. They're ecstatic about it. So what should it normally be, you see, compared to what is it when you finish with it all your indoctrinations and your rewiring? What are you then? Do you believe anything for yourself? Can you deduce anything for yourself? Or are you pretty well helpless and you need to be informed what to think, believe, or do? You've got to think of these powers, remember. From myself, Alan Ward, it's good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.